Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day.
Would you just stand? Can we honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I don't need it. We're here because we have one true God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Would you just stand? Let's honor him today. God, we just thank you for your presence in this room. God, we thank you for who you are, for who you are to us, for who you are to this nation. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to take over every part of today. In Jesus' name, enter this house. Fall in this room and on the hearts of every single person here and every child downstairs, every teacher, Lord, on every usher, on every person in the worship team, and every person even watching online in your homes, God. I thank you that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would just fall in this place. Have your way, God. For nothing matters unless you're here. We invite you, Jesus. We depend on you, Lord. And we thank you for the anointing that is in the room. Oh, Lord, your word today. We worship you, Father, and we thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Smile at somebody. Are you guys having a good week? During worship, is this okay if I say something to him? I was really inspired watching you worship the last 2 weeks. And as I've been praying for you, I kept hearing that you are a divine voice with healing hands and the vision of God. And that's something I want you, hopefully that's on recording and we can get that to them, but I put that somewhere in his room and pray over that. I've seen that this whole week as I prayed over you. There's such an anointing on you that the world has never seen. Never seen. And your worship will be the key that unlocks every ounce of that. Wow. Praise you, Father. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday. I know because Pastor Mike told me when I arrived today, I had forgotten. That's how important it is to me. And I don't care if it's important to you. It's just that's not my thing. But I'm there for the treats, okay? Meats and sweets, all right? That's it. So we're excited, and I'm going for whoever you're going for. And I know that's a split decision. So there it is. Go Nebraska. Okay. We're going to get into the Word of God. I've got a very, this is one of the pillars we're going to be talking about in our church. It's very different than any other message I've preached. And so I've been really praying into this because it's different. There's edifying, there's correction, there's understanding in here. The Holy Spirit has just been moving in our staff. So I'm excited to teach you this today. But I thought before anything I would make you laugh a little because this made me laugh today. In the morning, Merritt helps me let out the dog. Helps me let out the dog. Yep, he helps. So today, forever, Winston came in like with static. And he's got a lot of fur. And so his ears, it looked like he was just about to take off into the sky. And Merritt thought it was hilarious. So he grabbed a blanket and he put it over Winston and he started making it worse. And Winston just took it, just sat there and took it. And looked at me like, would you do something? And I promise you, he's probably in the ceiling of our home right now with that much static. I've never seen a dog, like, with every hair just, and he has got hair. Does he not have hair? Yeah, it was insane. And so I don't know what I'm walking into when I get home. So just pray for me. Pray for my dog. He's flying high with static electricity today. So, and Merritt has my sense of humor because that's the kind of thing I would have done as a kid. I thought stuff like that was funny. If it's icy and you fall, unless you get really hurt, okay, just say that. I think it's the funniest thing in the universe to watch people slip on ice. I will belly laugh to tears rolling down my face. Colin just stares at me, watches me laugh at something. I'm his humor. Little things do it for me. That's good, right? Yeah. I've got a different sense of humor, and so some of you that have the same, welcome those of you that don't, just enjoy. So, okay, go with me to Matthew. We'll get in today. Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 18. And before I read that, we're going to start in verse 19. The Holy Spirit is our helper, but he's more than that. He's so much more than that. But the local church is something that I think people have taken emphasis off of, where it's like, it's not that important. It's more of an added bonus when you can make it. And the church of God, if we don't value it, the next generation won't value it. And the world won't value it. And I'm going to show you in the Word of God today why it's valuable, why Jesus said it was valuable, and why it's important to be involved in your local church, and what a covering that will have over your life. And the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us individually, but he also speaks to us through our pastors and through prophets and apostles and the fivefold ministry. He speaks through us, yes, individually, but there's something different about being in the house of God, where you can hear and get answers in a way that you necessarily wouldn't have gotten to as quickly on your own. I'm thankful for my pastors. If you're ever in a church and your pastor doesn't have a pastor, run for the hills. Run. Your pastor needs to be submitted. And your pastors in this house have a pastor. And my pastors can ask me anything, anytime, no matter what it is. And they have. And I'm better because of it. But I want you to know I'm gonna teach today, but I'm not teaching from a place that I'm not submitted to. So we're going to talk about this in Matthew 18, 19. It says, "And again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree," this is the Amplified Classic I'm going to read through. It says, "harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven." And the local church is where you're going to find your agreeers. You will rarely find these people at your work. You may come across one. I'm not saying it's not possible, but you will rarely find your agreeers somewhere outside of the local church. And it's important to know, the Word of God says, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And there are some miracles that you're going to need as you go throughout your life, and a lot of them will be found with somebody agreeing with you in the local church. And it's important your surroundings, because if you're under a teaching, and let's say you're having somebody else agree with you, I need prayer for this, but they're not taught how you're taught. The one with the lesser teaching is where you'll fall. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but you need a pastor and you need to have agreeers who are hearing what you're hearing, who are being taught what you're being taught. If you want to see healing in a church, that church needs to honor Jesus as the healer. If you want to see deliverance in a church, that church needs to honor Jesus as the deliverer. If you want to see provision, you need to be in a church that honors God as provider. So it's important where, it's not just important to go to a church, but to go to a church that teaches you well and teaches you by the Word of God. There's a lot of seeker-friendly churches. There's a lot that want everyone to be comfortable, but shy away from the truth. And I tell you, if that is your type of church, you're in the wrong building today. This church will tell the truth, and it may not always be something that we're comfortable with, But the truth transforms. It breaks free. It brings forth how we're supposed to live in our inheritance as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So it's important that we have the right teaching. It's vital that we have the right teaching. And I've heard this comment since I was a kid. I don't need a church to be fed. And to a degree, you can get fed. You can listen to messages. You can listen to podcasts. But there's a difference between me going with Merritt to, let's say, Firebirds. We really like Firebirds as a family. We like steak. My family's a steak family. If you're not a steak family, if you're a vegan, my apologies. To a degree. I love steak, okay? You're not going to change me. I'm not going to change you. Let's agree to disagree, okay? But we love steak. If I would go there, Merritt, if he had his choice, he would be fed with just ice cream. If it was his choice, he would have appetizer, ice cream. Entree, ice cream. Dessert, ice cream plus some ice cream. Colin's birthday was recently on the 28th of January, and we had an ice cream cake. It's Colin's favorite thing. And the fight I've had to have with my son in the mornings, you cannot have it for breakfast. We're not having ice cream cake at 7:30 in the morning, child. We're not doing it. But how many of you could agree he could be fed? But would it be a healthy diet? Not so much. So yes, you can be fed and not go to church, but it will not be a healthy diet. And your local church is your healthy diet. It's important. 1 Kings 9, 1 through 5. I'm going to read this in the message because I really like the imagery here. It says, after Solomon had completed building the temple of God and his own palace, all the projects he had set his heart on doing, God appeared to Solomon again, just as he had appeared to him at what is this? Gibeon. I almost said Gideon. That would be incorrect. Verse 3, if you have a highlighter or a pen or something, mark this in your Bible, you're going to want to remember it. Said, and God said to him, I've listened to and received all your prayers. Now pause. That's the truth. God has listened to and received every prayer you've ever prayed. You're not ever just shooting blind, asking God for something, and he's like, yeah, I didn't remember that one. I didn't hear it. Everything you've prayed, he has record of. And it says, your ever so passionate prayers, I've sanctified this temple that you've built. My name is stamped on it forever. My eyes are on it, and my heart is in it always. The house of God is where God's heart is because his eyes are on it always. And if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says that his eyes and his heart are in this place, that tells me, and we're supposed to be a mirror of him, that my eyes and my heart should be here as well. And there's a lot we could go into this. It says, in it always, as for you, if you live in my presence as your father David lived, pure in heart and action, living the life I've set out for you, attentively obedient to my guidance and judgments, then I'll back you. Your kindly rule over Israel, make it a sure thing on a solid foundation. The same guarantee I gave David, your father, I'm giving you. You can count on always having a descendant on Israel's throne. He's talking generationally. When you plant your family in the house of God, it will affect generations to come. It says you're going to have a gathering of people. I hope you read this when you get home. You're going to have a gathering of people in your generations that honor the house of God. And men, there's a statistic that if women go, 16% will say that their kids will go too. But men, if you go, 87%. If you will make the house of God important, if you will honor it, your kids, there's an 87% chance that they will as well. Men, we need you to be men. And I'm sorry that the church has tried to diminish that or to say women take over that role. It's time for us to lead. There's room for everybody, but men, you are needed here. You are needed in the kingdom of God. You are called of God. And it's important that you lead through example. Your kids will not remember everything that you teach them and say, but they will remember what you did. They will remember how they felt around you. I'm thankful I had a dad that put emphasis on honoring the house of God. Even when I didn't want to go. He could have put me in the car kicking and screaming, and I was going to church. And I am who I am today because of it. Men, you're so important. Women, you are too, but men, you need to hear that. You're so vital. You're so vital. The local church is where you'll find a gathering of people who will agree with you. Now, you may be saying, Pastor Mercedes, I watch live. And I don't have a spirit-filled faith church in my region. I would say to you this. Here's a few things. You pray one in. You pray that God raises up a pastor in your region. But you don't wait long for one. I'm not talking, I've been here 5 years praying in a pastor. Then, baby, move. People move all the times for jobs, for promotions, but you want to get your family legacy involved? Get somewhere where the house of God is teaching right. I've seen people drive. Pastor Charity was just talking to me the other day of somebody she met that they're driving to Texas once a month. Now, I'm not saying that God's telling you to do that. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying if you live in Arizona or in Fiji, I don't know, that God's telling you, come to Omaha, Nebraska. But you find a church that's spirit-filled, that teaches the word of God for what it is, and you make adjustments to put honor and value there. It's not an add-on to your life. It's essential. It should be a pillar, and without that pillar, things will be wobbly. I'm telling you, they will. Don't wait long before you get around a local church. And a local church often is not something that is convenient. There are churches, I'm sure all of you are around, that are more convenient for you to come to than here. But I don't want a convenient walk with God. He's not convenient with me. I want a walk with God that brings miracles, signs, and wonders. And if I pay more in gas money, or if I wake up earlier, then so be it. If it's where my family is getting fed. Amen. And I know some of you are like, this was not what I was expecting. Could you stop it? I'm stepping on all my toes, my fingers, and my knees, okay? Just, you're going to like where we're going today, I promise you. Matthew 9:35 says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. Now, let's notice this. Jesus went to church. And if the Son of the Living God went to church, who am I to think I don't need it? If Jesus went to church, here's a thought. If Jesus went to church and said it's vital, perhaps I should go to church because it's vital. Jesus was the only perfect man. Now, I'll say this, you're never going to find a perfect church because there is no perfect person. I promise you this, I will not be a perfect pastor. But my life, I will throw at the altar of Jesus. I will not be perfect. You will not find a pastor who is. But I will live my life with a sense of accountability to God. And with my pastors, and Merritt has said this, and I thought this was so good. He goes, they don't need to be right all the time. They need to be right more than I would be. And thankfully, my pastors are. So it says, he went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. So notice their condition. They had every type of sickness and every type of disease. Verse 36, when he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. Another translation says compassion. Because they were bewildered. Another translation says they fainted. Harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless. Now he tells us why. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd is really vulnerable. Why do you think that they would have to protect in packs? Because it's less vulnerable. Because the opposing side, if they see one off by themselves, it's much easier than a flock put together. Sheep without a shepherd is vulnerable. Because sheep can have an owner. But if the owner doesn't put a shepherd with that sheep is left to himself to try to find the right paths, the right places to feed, the right food to eat. And we've been all bought with a price, and we belong to the great shepherd. And he so cares for each of us that he did not leave us to navigate and to be self-taught. He put a pastor in place. He gave us shepherds that are under the great shepherd, and that's to keep our lives safe and on the right path. You know, my brother lives in California, and I remember it wasn't him picking me up. It was, I don't know, there was one time I think I had to Uber for something. And you know what I didn't want? Somebody who was self-taught driving. Why? Why? Because it would put me at risk, but it also would put others at risk. You ever been on a plane and your pilot's like, now guys, I really think I've got this figured out. This is my first flight, but I've been watching, I've been playing the video games, and I think, boom, I've got it. You know, that I'm like, good for you. I don't want to be on this flight. Where's the exit door? People would be hurting each other to find the exit door. Me first. Get me out of here. I don't want a pilot that's self-taught. I don't want a driver that's self-taught. And yes, you can learn from the Word of God on your own. But there's beauty in coming under a teaching from somebody that is submitted to the Holy Spirit and submitted to somebody that where you're not self-taught, where they can go, that's wrong thinking. That's not what the Word says. That sounds good, but it's not true. That's what the church is for you. And that's what the church is for me. The Holy Spirit will teach us through an anointed man or woman. And he'll speak to you himself as well. And I'm not diminishing that. Because you need him in your everyday, every minute, every second walk. What I am saying is that it's not lost on me that I need a shepherd that Jesus gave me. He gave us gifts, and a shepherd is one of them. This is not a legalistic type thing, be in a church or else. This is one of the gifts of your inheritance is to have a pastor. It's one of the gifts of my life to have a pastor. Now let's look at the condition of the people in verse 35 and 36. It says, they had all types of diseases, weaknesses, infirmity. They were bewildered. They were fainting. They were harassed. They were distressed, dejected, and helpless. So notice there was every type of issue there. That's what it tells us about their condition. Why? It says because there were sheep without a shepherd. Which means they were accepting things they didn't know they didn't have to accept. That's the power of the local church. For you to get knowledge of the things that you're accepting in life that you don't need to. We all have a race to run. Every single one of us. And it's a marathon, not a sprint. And have you ever seen people in marathons? They have a coach. And that coach helps them not to faint. Sometimes they'll be in a vehicle going next to them. You can do it. They give them something to refresh them. They say, alter this. You'll get better. You'll get there faster. Or slow down. You're going too fast. You're not going to make it if you go at that pace. Or speed it up. Speed it up. You're going too slow. You know, I did dance. I did ballet for many, many years. And although I was talented at it, I needed a teacher. And I needed a coach. And I got better with my skill because I had a teacher and a coach who had a different view of me than I did. She was seeing things I was not seeing. She could correct things in my footwork that I couldn't have seen. She could say, stop landing on that leg that way. I'm like, but it's easier. I'm landing. What's the deal? That's going to cause you more issues down the road. And you know what? I remember not listening to her once. And it so caused me more issues down the road. I remember landing the way she said not to one time. And I was like, oh, aha. I understand what you were saying. Yes, I could have avoided that. Your pastors will help you avoid some huge mistakes. My teacher had a different angle than I did. And to keep a sound mind, that's also the help of a pastor. Because they can help you see, hey, that's wrong thinking. That doesn't go with what Philippians says about what a sound mind is. To keep a sound mind in place, you need right fellowship. My dad he went home on Monday, and that was amazing. He had a week at home. He ended up back in the hospital with pneumonia. Now, there are people, none of you know these people, okay, and I truly mean that, so none of you go there, okay? Not one of you know these people. Not a one of you. But I had people from out of town or something, hey, should I come up? You know, we'd love to just be there in the room with you. When you need a miracle, who you are around. I did not need people crying in the room. I did not people, you know, sympathy. Oh, you poor thing. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I'm like, I'm not a poor thing. You can, if you want that, you can have it. I'm not a poor thing. And in a moment when we need a miracle, I'm not letting so-and-so from out of state come in with their whining. And this is really bad, you guys. Are you seeing this? Pneumonia? Oh, Lord. No, I needed people going, that's nothing. Flick it off like a fly. God's bigger than all of that. I needed people of fellowship. I needed people of like faith. I needed people who were taught like I was taught, who knew the word of God. I needed people who were good prayers, who would hear from the Holy Spirit and go, I'm praying for your dad. And I went, I know you're praying for my dad. And I know that it's accurate. You, when you need a miracle, you have to be so careful who you let speak to you and who you let in the room. Now we're going to fly. Are you all right? This looks like a ton. I was like, this is, oh my gosh, why did nobody tell me? I had 20 pages of notes. They're usually double-sided. So there's hope, okay? it took me a minute. Sheep having no shepherds, he specifies the pastoral office, and all are essential to the believer being well balanced. There's apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher. Most of those things in verse 35 and 36, they're pertaining to the mind. Most of those people were dealing with what they were dealing with because they had wrong thinking, because they did not have a renewed mind. Yes, there were areas of their life being harassed, but a lot of it stemmed from wrong thinking, from an unrenewed mind. And to walk in a sound mind, a lot of times we need the anointing that's on a pastor. I need the anointing that's on my pastor. I'm fully aware. I depend on that anointing. I'll make them help me. Like, listen, this is what's happening. I need, give me wisdom. And oftentimes they'll give me something that I would never have even thought. You know, there's Nancy Dufresne talks about this. She's been a pastor for decades. And she would say, people, she would be walking through, and I can attest to this, and I'm sure all the pastors in the room could attest to this, but you would be on a Sunday morning walking by somebody, and God would give you a word for them. But it was proximity. You know, all of the healings in the Bible that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, they were around him. Or they were there on behalf of somebody. But they were in proximity. It matters that you're in church. Because oftentimes when we need a miracle, things feel so heavy that not coming feels like the easy, the thing to do. And every time I have made a decision in my heart to be in the house of God, I have gotten the answer I've needed. I've never been disappointed that I came to church. I've always went, thank God I didn't stay in bed today. I would have missed that. And I love our online family, but there are things I can't get to you by you not being in the room. The proximity is a big deal. Now let's read quickly what a sound mind is. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. It says, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Your pastor helps you do that. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. What a promise. There, you'll hear this countless times. All I need is Jesus. And yes, that's true. All you need is Jesus for his redemption, his salvation. Jesus did it all. But when you become a child of God and you come into the family and you've been saved, now you need to be educated spiritually. Ephesians 4, 3 through 11 says, be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as there is also one hope that belongs to the calling you have received. This is the Amplified Classic. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Praise you, God. One God and Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, pervading all, and living in us all. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually.
proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. There is, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He led a train of vanquished foes. And he bestowed gifts on men, but he ascended. Now, what can this he ascended mean but that he had previously descended from the heights of the heaven into the depths, the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the very same as he who has also ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fill all things, the whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us. Some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock and teachers. His intention was the perfecting, pay attention to this, the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. His house equips you. His consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of his fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. So then, we may no longer be children, tossed like ships to and fro, between chance, gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine. The prey of, are you catching something here? The cleverness. I want to read this whole thing. I'm wondering if I should. It's long. I'm going to skip to verse 15. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the appointed one. For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. We need all the offices, the fivefold ministry, but our everyday life, we need a pastor. Because the pastor lives with the sheep. We have people come in. We have apostles, prophets that come in. We have Jim Hockaday come in. We have guests that come in. But they're not here every Sunday with you. The apostle doesn't live with the sheep primarily. So thank God for them, but also thank God for pastors. And in that covering, there's a covering under your pastor that you will find that they will help you live in a sound mind. People who will think right. People who will honor the word. People that love what you love. Because when you're in the trenches and you need a miracle, you need right words in your life. I don't need to be going to a buffet and getting all ice cream. I need a healthy meal when I need a miracle. Yes, we can focus on specific things that Christ has given us, but there is a healthy meal that comes in the local church, and we're all supposed to be eating of it. None of us would sign up for a school that taught 3 + 3 = 11. We would be crippling our kids from learning math. Math they will need. That is one subject they do need, math. And let's say you took your sweetheart to their first day of school and they said, now, today we're going to be learning that 3 + 3 = 11. Which basically some schools are. We're not going to go there. They're teaching some interesting things. I'm not going there. Okay. I am stepping away from that. We're going with math. Many would say, that's not accurate. That's not helpful. That's not edifying. And in fact, it does all of the opposite. You're crippling my kid for what he's going to need going through life. I spend more time correcting wrong teaching than almost anything else. It's important to be under the right teaching of the Word of God. And if you're grabbing sources from all different places, I'm not saying that any of it's wrong or any of it's bad, but not everything attains to you in your life. And a pastor helps go, no, wrong. That's a little off. You need to focus a little in on here. My pastors do that for me. I'm so grateful. And the Holy Spirit will lead you where to go. And it probably won't be the most convenient. But I tell you, when you're in a place and you need a miracle and you need to receive from God, I didn't care about convenience. I cared about results. And I want to go to a church that gets results. I want to go to a church when people come in, they experience freedom and deliverance, and depression flees. And there is joy of the Lord that becomes their strength. And I want to be in the house of God where miracles, signs, and wonders are taking place. I want to be in an alive church. I don't want to be in a dead one. I don't want to be in one that talk about it and yet there's no action. There's no moving forward in faith. I don't want to be in a church where the pastor has everything all together and isn't walking through some of the things I'm walking through and going, pothole, don't go there. Don't think that way. When you need a miracle, go this way. Focus your eyes on Jesus. When I needed a miracle last year, I had pastors in my life that showed me where the potholes were and helped me keep my eyes on Jesus. I had a pastor that said, no more surgeries in Jesus' name. Agree to that. And I said, I agree to that in Jesus' name. And there was miracles that took place because I agreed with what my pastor put over my life. Your miracles are a lot of times attached to the word of the Lord from your pastor. I want to go to a church that gets results. And in case you haven't noticed, this is a church that gets results. And I'm so honored, and I'm so grateful, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit that works in this room, that delivers people, that brings healing signs and wonders. If you weren't here last week, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit spoke signs, wonders, tongues and interpretation, prophecy, healings, visions, words for people. I need to be in rooms like this. Not just for me, but because it saves other people too. We're called to be like him. Well, I can be just as good a Christian as you are and not go to church. True. But you can't be like Jesus and not go to church. You can be just as good a Christian, but you can't be like Jesus and not go to church and not honor his house. Jesus honored. And we're called to be like him. Luke 4:16, and we're almost done, says, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he entered the synagogue, as was his custom, or you could say habit, on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Jesus went to church. And if the Son of God needed to go to church, how much more as us sons and daughters of God need to be in church? There's an assist and a help, and I don't want to miss out on any part of my inheritance because I'm too stubborn, too lazy, or I have too big of an ego to think that I need help. There's a phrase, and I don't know if
I don't know if this is appropriate, but it's like you get too big for your britches. A lot of Christians are a little too big for their britches, thinking, I've got it. I don't need to be submitted into a church. I don't need to be submitted in, with a pastor. I don't need that covering. Oh, I need it. I depend on it. I need that covering. I need to be in church. Jesus says that they were looking for their 12-year-old kid 3 days. That is wow. As a parent, I can't imagine. I know he's the Son of God, but whoa, 3 days. My hair would look like Winston's. I didn't have mirror for 3 days. My hair would look like my dog's. Where was Jesus? He said, I was in my Father's house. Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house about my Father's business? In other words, he was there so often, he's like, why were you looking other places? Where else did you think I would be? That shows he didn't just go there on specific dates. It was so a part of him that he's like, that should have been the first place you looked. 1 Kings 9, 3-5. And God said to him, I've listened to and received all your prayers, your ever so passionate prayers. I've sanctified this temple that you have built. My name is stamped on it forever. My eyes are on it and my heart is in it always. If you felt far from God, get in church. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. And the Holy Spirit will meet you where you are and he'll pull you out of whatever you're in. But just get in church. Deuteronomy 32:30 says, how could one have chased 1,000 and put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had delivered them up? For their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. There's a lot of rocks that people will build their life on, but there's only one that will stand when things come flying at you. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. And there's only one that you can build your life on and be sure to stand. It says you shall flourish like the palm tree. Have you ever seen palm trees after a hurricane? They're still there. Because they're planted in the house of God. What did we read last week? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in his house forever. Why did goodness and mercy follow him? Because he was in the house of God. It's impossible for anything else to follow you when you're in the house of God. And not just in it. Here's the other key. When you're in the house of God, you take it like meat and you eat it. You take what the teaching that's been given, you eat it, you work with it, you act on it. Because I can shove steak down your throat all day, but unless you chew it up, you're going to throw it up. We've got Christians making messes because they won't take the meat of what the Word of God says as truth. And they want to eat ice cream all day long. And they're malnourished. And they're not experiencing signs, wonders, miracles, because they will not eat the steak. They will not eat the Word of God and let it transform them and renew them and alter their life. First Corinthians 14 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive edifying.
These are gifts of the Spirit that we have in our church. Now, brethren, if I come up unto you speaking with tongues, but shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harp? For if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? This is saying without a pastor, you can't. Have you ever heard chew the meat, spit out the fat? It's disgusting. It really just makes me want to throw up thinking about that. But when you get a truth, he's saying your pastor here will help you go pull that needle out of the haystack and go right there. That's the truth. That's the truth. Because there are people that will come into your life and say that they're the voice of God. And may even sound like it occasionally. May even have a little bit of truth wrapped around a lie. That's the enemy. There will people go, I'm assigned to you. I'm supposed to be over you. I'm supposed to be a prophet to you or a pastor or apostle. And I'm going, nobody appoints themselves like that. No. The Holy Spirit appoints people. You don't just let anybody come and prophesy to you. You don't let just anybody come and say, I have a word of God for you. It must line up with Scripture. It must be in order. God works in order. I encourage you to read this. It's really, I don't think I have time to get through all of it. I really don't. I really, really don't. That was 4 pages, you guys. That's really long. Okay. Yeah, oh, there's no way. Yeah. Read this for yourselves, please. Would you do that for me? We're going to close with this. And then we're going to worship. Worship team, you can already hop up there if you'd like. Coming to a local church and sitting in a pew is great. It's a first step. But there should be involvement. To walk by faith is to be involved with it. And the local church is not something you just sit and you feed. You be a part of it. You be active in it. You pray. Did you know 76% of pastors that start in 10 years, they quit? Because there's such judgment, and I wouldn't do it that way. And the enemy hates your pastor. And it's important you're involved in praying and covering your pastor. And to be involved in the church. How do you become involved? You do what I just said. You get involved. Some of you, you know you should be on the worship team, and why haven't you done it? Some of you know you should be in kids ministry. Why aren't you there? Some of you know you could be an usher. There is an involvement, and God will bless it. He will honor it, and you will be shocked at what will happen in your life when you start to work in the local church. You'll be shocked. You would be shocked. And that will look different for everybody. What God calls one to do, he won't call the others to do. I have people that are intercessory prayers, some that I texted this morning that were praying over me today. I woke up with the worst migraine. I could not see. I was trying to put on my eyeliner. You know how hard that is to put on eyeliner when you can't see? I would have looked crazy town. You would have been like, you okay? Are you all right? And I had people pray for me. And I don't have a migraine. It's important to pray for your pastor, but it's important for you to not only sit and hear the word of God, but to accept it, to work with it, to let it get down into your spirit, and then to serve in whatever way the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And he will tell you if you ask. He will. We're gonna, would you just stand with me to your feet? Before we close, we're going to worship for a moment. We're going to do a few things today. We're going to pray over our kids' ministry. Pastor Charity had that word from God, and it has. I just knew immediately we were supposed to do that today. We're going to pray over pastors in our city because they're vital and they're important.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com, and we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.